Father in heaven, we rejoice that we can be gathered together this day as your children. We rejoice with your children in all parts of the world who worship the same great Almighty God. Father, we thank you for reaching out to us in your love. Thank you for all your provisions for us. Father, we pray that you will continue to help us to appreciate, understand the meaning of our time on earth, why you have placed us in this fallen world. When we are confronted with so many temptations, trials, difficulties, the wiles and attacks of the evil one, for we know that you are a great and good God, that you love us, and your kind intentions toward us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to appreciate more deeply the meaning of this time on earth, so that we will be able to respond well and live our lives in a manner truly pleasing to you and bearing good fruit in every good work. We pray that you be pleased to speak to each heart. The many of the things we read in the scriptures, many things that we hear may sound so familiar, and yet we know there is much that we have yet to know as we ought to know. We commit this time to your hands in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been considering God's revelation in the New Testament on your working of church life, and at this point in time, the subtopic for today is moving towards the destination of the church in the context of the process, the second message. In the last two messages, we considered how God seeks to bring about the fulfillment of his purposes and a good outcome for the destination of the church. We consider destination, then how does God bring it about? As I mentioned, it's important to recognize not only the helpfulness to know the destination, but that it's not a question of our striving to accomplish that destination. If we approach it that way, we will fail again and again, and we can be very miserable. But in the midst of many difficulties, opposition, if we realize that it is God who will bring it about, he wants to bring about, but what he's looking for are those who are available to him, in whom and through whom you have the freedom to bring it about. And primarily, God wants to bring about the fulfillment of his purposes through the Lord Jesus Christ and also through the church. But we need to understand God's provisions for the church and how church life ought to work out. This is critical. In the midst of that, it is also helpful to understand the whole process by which God seeks to bring about and the context that we are living in. So last message, we noted the process takes place in the context of this fallen world, the weakness of the flesh and the opposition from the forces of darkness and the attacks of the evil one. And these three major aspects has very far-reaching implications. One major implication has to do with all kinds of temptations, trials, difficulties that we will encounter. We cannot run away from them. We will have to learn how to face them, and beyond that, to understand why God wants us to face them. Because all these trials, difficulties, temptations, and these three major factors may seem very undesirable, very unfavorable to us, but in reality, it is a very suitable context for God to bring about his intentions for our lives. And one major aspect has to do with the fact that God wants us to become mature, to develop every aspect of our being, our mind, our spirit, our character, as we learn to persevere in the truth and be faithful to God, so that we will be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing, as James tells us. And this development of our being is vital for major aspects of the fulfillment of God's purposes. The core center is the well-being of man, our personal well-being. The other is to do with our relationship with God, and then our relationship with one another, and our effective participation in the fulfillment of God's purposes. So this is a very major aspect. God's desire to transform us that we may be conformed to the image of Christ. Today I will continue from where we stopped in the last message on the theme of the process and the context of the process. God wants to form or to nurture within us the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. These are familiar verses. Paul, in the earlier part of Galatians chapter 5, tells us it's possible to walk with the Spirit, but it's also possible to walk according to the flesh. And it's vital we learn to walk according to the Spirit. And when we learn to walk according to the Spirit, it will help us to nurture the fruit of the Spirit. Chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. We can appreciate the fruit of the Spirit from the angle of walking closely to God. Then we experience love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit granting us experience of love, joy, peace, and so on. Or as we live out together with the Lord, with the Spirit at work, we experience all these various facets of the fruit of the Spirit. But God's intention is for us to go beyond just experience of the Holy Spirit at work so that we experience love, joy, and peace. There is that dimension, yes. But God's intentions and His goal, and far more important, is not the experience at the moment, in the situation we go through. But He actually wants to bring about the fruit of the Spirit in our hearts, in our being. It becomes a part of us. And when the quality of our heart develops, then the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, all these can become stable qualities in our heart. Just as the Lord Jesus constantly manifests all these different aspects. And as we look at all these different facets, we will realize that all these different facets develop well in the context of difficulties and trials. How do you develop love of quality when you encounter a lot of difficulties, when it's very difficult to love? Then you nurture, you persevere to continue to love as God desires of us. The quality of love deepens. Likewise, kindness, self-control, when it's very difficult and yet you look to the Lord and the Spirit of God helps you to exercise self-control, you develop self-control as a quality. And the more difficult it is, and yet you continue to be faithful to God, the stronger will be this quality. Likewise, the love, joy, peace. I mentioned just now briefly about love, but the joy. If we are able to continue to experience the joy and peace of God, when the situation is very difficult, it becomes a quality of our being. And it is not just a situation whereby God momentarily enables you to experience joy, peace. But it's possible as we look to the Lord and we continue to trust Him and look to the Spirit of God, to the freedom to work in our hearts, we actually develop the quality of being such that the joy and the peace of the Lord is of a high quality that doesn't easily go away or be shaken. And patience, of course, very not difficult to understand. It's not difficult to be patient in a very conducive situation. But how patient are you? If you can be patient when everybody around you is so kind. But when it is very difficult and the situation is very difficult and yet you learn to persevere. A task is very difficult, you persevere. So you nurture patience, you come across difficult people, you continue on. You learn to develop patience. Likewise, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. So as we are aware that these qualities are important, then the context that we are in, we know are very helpful to nurture, to develop these qualities. So we can say God has placed us in this context, the context of the fallen world, the forces of darkness at work, and also even the weakness of our flesh. It's not so easy for us. So that we can learn and grow well. But not only that, I want to elaborate a little. We learn and grow well together with the brethren. We can look at this from the angle of the individual and the individual's walk with God. There is that dimension. But now we are considering God's purposes, our working, in relation to our working of church life. And this helps us to appreciate why church life is so important, and as we appreciate the total reality under which God wants us to learn and grow. He wants us to learn and grow together with the brethren in the expression of body life. And here you'll find the different aspects to it. Why working out well in church life is very important in these areas and the development of our being. So one aspect is do we can look at from the angle of the positive. Body life, and many of you have written your submissions, quite meaningful how you express it in your own words. The expression of body life, we know God wants us to participate in mutual edification, to uphold one another, to care for one another, to pray for one another. In the midst of the trials and difficulties in this fallen world and the attacks of the evil one, we really appreciate how brethren care for us, love us, support us, and we also support them. And the mutual edification. All these are very important for us to fare well in the context that we are in, and it also, at the same time, also not only help us to appreciate other members of the body, but for the body to work out well. Afterwards, I'll elaborate on various other aspects like patience and so on. But not only that, together with that, we also know that God has made us differently. There are different members of the body with different roles. We also learn to appreciate more deeply in the midst of the trials and difficulties and so on. As we seek to work out, we begin to appreciate more deeply our need for one another and how different ones participate, contribute in different ways for the whole building up of the whole body, but also our own personal lives, how we benefit from the lives and the ministry of others, and also how we benefit significantly from the whole body, because as we function well, the whole body, when it's built up, God is pleased to manifest his power. He works. And not only the body continues to grow, each one of us will benefit significantly. And many, many principles, areas of truth will no longer be just concepts. They become alive to us. Well, I will now just mention some aspects for consideration. As I mentioned to you, now I'm looking at the big picture. But if we go further into it, we'll see that this is actually a very meaningful area for us to have a full appreciation, the meaning of body life in the context of the fallen world and the wiles of the evil one, and even the weaknesses that all of us do have. So one aspect we do experience, and it's good that we do take note of it, is that when we want to work out effectively in church life, we are often hindered by various difficulties in our relationship with the brethren. And at times it can be quite painful. Sometimes there are brethren who can even be quite discouraged. But we need to look at it in the right perspective. Yes, effective outworking in the expression of body life, church life, is often hindered by various difficulties. For example, difficulties in communication. Sometimes we're just unhappy with somebody, but we may not realize that a lot of it has to do with our misinterpretation of what the person is saying. Likewise, the person misunderstanding what we are saying, misinterpreting it, or difficult to communicate. So related to that is misunderstandings. Another aspect that is helpful for us to bear in mind is that different ones may have different ways of looking at things, and even the same set of circumstances. All are going through, but we look at it differently. And if you're not careful, we may be overconfident. The way I look at it is like that. So that person, how can he or she respond in that way? But we do not realize that the person is looking at it quite differently from us. And are we so sure that how we are looking at it is the correct one? And sometimes it can be elements of right and wrong in perceiving the situation by different ones. Now the point now I want to raise is that these various difficulties, if you are conscious, and then we learn how to work out and learn to look to God for wisdom, how to understand, how to respond, it will help us to become more mature. But if we don't realize, then we just insist, we are so adamant we are right, we'll always remain childish, like a child who never grows up. We know the difference between a child and an adult, if the child has grown up well. This will be one of the areas you learn to understand people, you learn to understand yourself, you learn to recognize that the way people look at things, do things, may be different from us, but that doesn't necessarily mean they are wrong. They may be right. There can also be personality traits that are different and can make it quite difficult that we need to bear in mind. Then prejudices. And when we encounter difficulties because of someone's prejudice, we can feel very strongly about it. But we may not realize that we may have our own prejudices. Prejudices can involve people, prejudice against people. Prejudices can also be the way we tend to interpret certain things. When you see certain things, we interpret in a certain way. That is what it means. The way we quickly conclude over various issues, which may be quite inaccurate. So this leads to, and we've mentioned a little just now, of differing perceptions and interpretations of situations, of conduct, of events that are taking place. In the midst of all this, very real, we need to recognize all this can also be very much aggravated by the deficiencies in the human heart. And don't quickly say it's deficiencies of other people. We all do have deficiencies in our heart. And it will aggravate the whole thing. And then, on top of it all, bear in mind, the evil one is actively at work. He's seeking to exploit every situation to promote difficulties, hindrances to effective expression of body life, so that God's purposes cannot be properly accomplished, and also to stir the brethren against one another. We know fellowship is at the very core center of God's intentions, desires. And the evil one succeeds in sowing discord or hinders the development of positive fellowship. Then he would have succeeded at a primary objective, goal of the Lord. And it's very easy for the evil one to cause problems in human relationships and fellowship. And many of us, in fact, I think I should say all of us would have experienced difficulties in relationship, and sometimes we not know why, and we may not have analyzed it properly. But these are areas that are helpful for us to be conscious, and as we seek to work at it, as I mentioned, we become more mature. And sometimes it can be that others are at fault. They have failures, they have deficiencies. But God still wants us to love them, to care for them, and that nurtures the quality of love. We need to learn to be patient, so patience develops. So rather than becoming very annoyed, very unhappy, very miserable, or very angry, let us realize that these are opportunities to learn. I'm not saying that we should be oblivious to the faults and failures of others, as if they do not exist. And if we truly love the brethren, we also long that the deficiencies they have, they may also come to recognize, they may also change. And if in some way we can contribute towards that, we should be very glad and do what we can. But a major aspect has to do with ourselves and our own learning. And to be a bit slow to conclude that the fault always lies with others or the situation. That's why the Lord Jesus says, you're so concerned about the speck in your brother's eye, but you are not conscious of the log that's in your own eye. And this is true. Often we can be very conscious of the failures, the weaknesses of others, in the first place, if they are there. But we not be so conscious of ourselves. But interestingly, the Lord Jesus didn't say, yeah, just be concerned about the log of your own eye. Don't bother about the speck in your brother's eye. He didn't say that. He says, first deal with the log in your own eye. Then you can see clearly and help your brother because of the speck in his eye. So all this we need to see wholesomely in the different aspects. Yes, some will say so difficult. So the way in which I can come to a position where I will not be troubled, disturbed is, I don't care. Well, they may not put it like that, but they just keep their distance. They don't want to be involved. And so they will not be hurt. Yes, at times we may have to keep a distance. There are some people who are quite evil or a situation God may want us to avoid. But very often, and especially in the working of church life, we can go through many difficulties, but God wants us to work out in the midst of the difficulties. And not just merely praying that our brother or sister will change so that our lives will become easier. Sometimes we approach it like that. But yes, we pray for them wherever that's not good, that they will see, they will change. But a lot of it has to do with ourselves. That God, remember I mentioned in the previous message, that God is a sovereign God. What He allows us to go through, the other is His wisdom, His knowledge. He knows all that we are going through. That there is a training program specifically tailored for each one of us, what we go through. Not the same for everyone. But God in His wisdom, He knows what is good for us to go through. So rather than lament and be miserable and grumble and just blame people, make the most of the situation that we are in and the spirit of love, concern for others. Do what we can. And you will not be the loser. All who live in this way, their lives will blossom. And that is the way the perfect God has ordained reality. Those who seek to live like that, their lives will blossom. And also their lives will be a blessing to others. And that's how God wants us to live. And that's very clear. All the exhortations in the scriptures is for us to live like that. And that's how the Lord Jesus lived His life, our perfect example. But I said it doesn't mean we ignore wrongdoing and right wrong becomes right. But we need to look to the Lord, to speak to us, to help us to understand how to respond, and also how He can have a freedom to nurture, to transform our character, that more and more we will be conformed to the image of Christ. So as I mentioned, the evil one will seek to exploit the situations to make it difficult, including relationships. And as we go through different situations, we must learn to be prayerful, look to the Lord, to be discerning. Not just simply go through life, or just say, okay, very difficult, but yes, I won't grumble, but that's not enough. We must learn to be discerning, to be wise, what actually is happening. Learn from the situation and then how God wants us to respond. And not only that, very often in many of the situations are very difficult, we must also learn how to take our stand, how to put on the whole armor of God to fight the good fight of faith. And you know, you're also fighting the good fight of faith even in the midst of fellowship amongst the brethren. Because evil is at work. Not that you fight against the brethren, but you take your stand against the forces of darkness who are at work in that situation. But not only that, in the outworking of church life, God wants us to learn how to take our stand at a personal level as well as together. You can say together as a body. You can also take the picture in Ephesians 6, the analogy there of the army. Take our stand together as the army of God. So we know there's the individual soldier, there's the army. So we learn each one to be a good soldier. But to be a good soldier, you must also learn how to fulfill your part in the army. And also the whole army learn how to fight the good fight. And all subjected to the commander-in-chief, the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, God has placed in the church secondary leaders. Just in the army, there are also the lower ranking officials and so on, but ultimately submitted to Christ the head. So it's important for us to learn how to live well, personal, together. Individual soldier, develop well, but also learn how to fight as an army and not fight amongst ourselves. There's a sure way of defeat. But to know who is our real enemy. And that is very clear. So when we pause for a while, we'll realize that at times we may not be responding so well. We forget who is our real enemy, who is the true enemy. And yes, amongst the brethren, there are difficulties, there are failures. But we are looking for to help us to learn how to be understanding and help one another. It will not be easy. In fact, it can be very difficult. And we can fail. But it's good when we fail to recognize the fear and then we'll get it further. But if we do not see correctly, then we can not only fail, but continue to fail miserably and not learn well. And in difficult situations, I mentioned about an individual with an army, the basic principle in the scriptures is submit to God, resist the devil. That is a very important principle we need to adopt at a personal level as a basic posture and to affirm this in specific situations. The other is together. So each one and together we learn to submit to God and reject the influences and workings of the forces of darkness. This is to do with being discerning, to seek to understand what God is working and aligning our heart with the heart of God. What God is seeking to bring about, we cooperate. Then when we recognize, discern the attacks of evil one, we take our stand, personal together. But not only that, we also need to learn to take this stand, not just specific areas, specific issues, and it's very, very clear, but there are many contexts where we know the force of darkness at work. So even now as we prepare for the camp, during this period, it's very important, personal, together we learn to take our stand. That in our hearts we take this stand, that we are submitting to God, we are rejecting the influences, the workings of the forces of darkness. And if you learn this well, you can see it in your own lives and also together. It's very real. If you learn to take this stand properly, you can see the difference, the freedom for God to work, and it becomes difficult for the evil one to work. But if we do not take the stand, the evil one may be hitting us left, right, all over, and we suffer unnecessarily, we are defeated unnecessarily, and we then also fail to learn well. So as we learn to work out church life as God desires of us, and learn to go through situations with the Lord in this way, learn to be discerning, to be wise, personal, together, then each one of us, and also together, increasingly, we will nurture these various aspects which are vital. Increasingly, personally, together, we'll deepen in our knowledge of God. Yes, reading the scriptures is very important. But deepening our knowledge of God, a very major aspect has to do with the truth of reading the scriptures absorbed, lived out in the realities of life. not just the reading of the scriptures alone. You have to absorb the truth, but very important, you have to learn the truth. Otherwise, you do not know how to respond. But you'll be very sad. You think that you've learned, you've grown a lot, because a lot of knowledge has gone in, but you have not learned how to live it out. That is not the kind of knowledge that the scriptures talks about. That is precious. So one major aspect has to do with the deepening of our knowledge of God and our relationship with Him and our understanding, our knowledge of His ways. So as we are prayerful, we learn to look to Him, our relationship with Him deepens, and with passing time, we begin to also recognize the hand of God and learn how to be more sensitive to Him, align our heart with Him, learn from Him, not only personally, but together. And more to recognize what are the ways of God. Are we walking in the way He desires? But in all this, this is where scriptural principles become important. They must always be consistent with the principles revealed in the scriptures. Otherwise, we think, oh, I'm responding well this way. But it can be our own thinking, our own cleverness. Or the evil one may deceive us, and we think we are faring very well, when in fact, it is the opposite. So, as I mentioned, we live in this way, then increasingly, each one together, we'll learn, we'll deepen. One is our knowledge of God, relationship with Him. The other is what I mentioned just now about the fruit of the Spirit. We learn to live it out. We learn to be patient. We deepen the quality of patience. We learn to be kind. And the quality of kindness, loving, being understanding, considerate towards others. And this can at times be quite difficult in very trying situations. And then in the midst of all these kinds of situations, learning to maintain the joy and the peace of God, which is possible, but realize, I said, it's a fruit of the Spirit. As you go through difficult situations, look to the Spirit of God to fill our hearts with the love of God, fill our hearts with the joy and the peace of God. Is that possible? Yes. Easy, at times very difficult, but it's possible. And in very trying situations, we learn to do that, and we still experience the joy and the peace of God at a deeper level. That kind of peace and joy is of a very meaningful quality. And as we learn to do that, more and more, the quality of being will develop. And this is a lifelong process. Never say, I've already learned all these things. During our time on earth, God wants us to continue to deepen in all these different aspects of the fruit of the Spirit, and also various aspects of understanding, knowledge, and relationship with God, and so on, that we are to nurture and to develop. We also learn, in the midst of all these difficult situations, to learn how to relate and to work out with all kinds of people. And learning to relate with people is very important. Sometimes we find people are difficult, and then we say, well, difficult, but never mind. I just concentrate on my own walk with God, my own relationship with God. That is not what God desires of us. Like I said, there is context where God wants us not to come out of it. That's different. But in general, God wants us to learn to love, to care, to relate, not withdraw. I've mentioned, in times past, I've shared with you some of the interesting situations also. There are those who loved a lot and they retire to the caves, hermit, to be very spiritual. But even in monasteries, sometimes they have more people. But there are some of these who really retire into the caves by themselves to nurture deep relationship with God. But you don't develop real good relationship with God and nurture our being well by becoming a hermit in a cave somewhere where you don't live with anybody. So we learn to relate not just with certain people, but to learn to relate with all kinds of people that God brings into our path. that God wants us to live with. Yes, we need to consider and how much time God wants to spend different ones and so on. But it's not just by our personal inclination, what we prefer. And there are various contexts where we know what is meaningful in eyes of the Lord. So we should not just avoid it. And this learning to work out with different kinds of people includes, our work context includes doing shit with non-believers. Learn to understand them, relate with them, and learn in their context, but also the brethren. And some of the people who give us the most pain can actually be brethren. It shouldn't be like that. How come it's like that? But it is true. Likewise, some of the people who can give us the most pain are those who are closest to us, our loved ones. That doesn't mean that God wants us to withdraw from the situation. You pause, you consider, you may then realize why. And many of us do go through such situations. But these are occasions where the Lord has much that He wants to teach us. And God wanting us to learn to relate and so on includes, He may want us also to learn to relate with those we may find difficult to relate with. It doesn't mean difficult, we withdraw. But you also bear in mind the other side. And that is, we may find them very difficult to relate. But they may find us very difficult. In fact, I come across many situations where those who find the other person very difficult, the other person also find you very difficult. So you may say, oh, the best. Don't go near. But sometimes there are various contexts whereby you cannot say don't go near, including family members, loved ones, and so on. But there are others whereby it's possible not to go near, but we know God wants us to go near, to relate. Painful, difficult. Don't just go through, say, okay, I don't want to feel the pain, so I go through like a stone, so I'm not hurt. Yes, I'm not withdrawing. That is not good enough. You may say, I'm enduring. How do you endure? I grit my teeth. That is not biblical endurance, perseverance. Biblical perseverance is not gritting your teeth. It's to go through it well, even though it is difficult. That is true perseverance. Easy? No. Can be very, very difficult. But you may learn the most precious lessons, the most precious things in some of the most difficult, trying situations. When you fail, do not be discouraged. But don't rationalize it. Look to the Lord. Fail, tell the Lord you're sorry, see what you can learn from it. So in all these situations, it's important. Don't always relate with people just between A and B. A looks at B, B looks at A. Well, look back at the Garden of Eden. It's not just between Eve and, some people say apple, which is a fruit. It's not just between Eve and the fruit. The evil one is also at work. So often also as we relate with people, situations, and so on, even loved ones, the evil one is also at work in the situation. So it's important to recognize this, but not only that. Thankfully, it's not just between us and the individual or a group of people and the evil one. Thankfully, there's another dimension, another person, very, very important, and that is God Himself. Or persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, that we must be very conscious of. And together with that, the brethren who love us, who are praying for us, who are supporting us. So this part, as we go through, don't just go through between you and that person. You pray, look to the Lord. Not only to learn what we can learn, but also look to the Lord for wisdom to guide us. And also, after He has guided us, we have some idea how to go about it, to also then strengthen us, enable us. So when it's difficult, we go through, we develop spiritual strength and stamina. Very important. Some people, they go through a situation, short while, little bit, can. Precious bit more, they cannot. Of course, as I said, we need to be wise. Some situations, God doesn't want us. We are not ready yet. Don't just go into all kinds of situations. But what the Lord wants us to go through, as we learn to go through in this way, looking for the Lord to guide, to enable, we often talk about these things, but now I want to comment and I hope you can catch it in a way that you can actually apply it when you go through all kinds of situations, trials, including difficulties in human relationship. And in the whole process, as you look to have the guide to undertake, you should also be looking to the Lord. All these years they have been trying to learn the truths of the Christian faith. What would be applicable in this situation? I've been reading the scriptures. I've been hearing messages. Are there principles that are relevant? So when we go through like that, God will be pleased to speak to us. And then we learn to apply the principles. Then these principles become very real. And that's the real learning of the principles. They are not just concepts anymore. And the more we live out in this way, the stronger they are. So learning the truth in scriptures is very important. There's a place to memorize scriptures, yes. And some of us are better at that than others. Some of us have poor memories. But if we read, we understand the truths and the principles, and then we learn to apply in this way, they become very real in our hearts. And then you will also begin to experience something very meaningful. And that is, there are many, many truths and principles and realities that God wants us to learn, which initially we may have to look to the Lord and specifically seek to apply it. For example, to be prayerful. Sometimes you go through, then we have to remind ourselves, I need to be prayerful. Or I need to look to the Lord. I need to see what principles apply and so on. But if you learn to go through this well, and you should increasingly make progress in what I term as a spontaneity that comes forth from our heart. That is, in various situations, spontaneously we will be looking to the Lord. Spontaneously we will learn to look at situations from the biblical perspective, and we know how to go about it. Of course, there's a Christian degree, but more and more it'll be like that. And it should be, and that's very meaningful. Some people will say, why go through every situation? You must say, you know, spiritually, how to look at it, God's perspective. Are we over-spiritualizing? It is clear, every situation we go through, we have to remember, we are God's children. We are children of light. We are citizens of God's kingdom. In every situation, we have to look at situations from the perspective of God's kingdom. Yes, there are earthly responsibilities we have to fulfill. But the perspective, the way we go about it, it has to be from the perspective of God's kingdom in the way that God desires of us. And in many situations, we may have to do it more actively to look to God, how to go about it. But hopefully, more and more, it becomes so much a part of our life that spontaneously we'll begin to know how to go through in the way that God desires of us, and yet also be careful that it doesn't, spontaneity in this sense I'm talking about, doesn't mean that then when you go through situations, you just keep going through, it's all just very spontaneous. There's a wrong sense, which I hope you did not get from what I'm trying to talk about. Or at the beginning it may be a healthy spontaneity, but it degenerates into a negative kind. Because this spontaneity I'm talking about is alive, and it goes together with what the Lord Jesus talks about. Run the race with endurance, fixing your eyes on the Lord Jesus. There's an active looking to the Lord all the time. There's an active conscious fellowship with God to lead, to guide, and so on. That must always be there. Never become on your own. Or just go through situations like automatically, I just respond. God wants us to actively live out our lives, to go through in fellowship with Him. But various of the areas of looking to Him, understanding, and so on, can be very much a part of our lives. Yes, that part is very meaningful, and we should seek to nurture that, become stronger and stronger. So as we go through life in this way, then you can say, the right way to go through the process. And this will be the path of growth in moral and spiritual stature. That's what we long for, and this will take place. So then we'll be moving in the direction of becoming perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Because there'll be all kinds of situations, all kinds of people, and all kinds of spiritual pressures and attacks. And I say, God is sovereignly undertaking what you go through. And it's the curriculum that God wants us to go through. But he said that many of us do not recognize the curriculum, and we miss out many of the lessons that God wants us to learn. But if we go through properly, then yes, we'll move in the direction of being perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. But as I mentioned, we never reach that. If we reach that, that means James chapter 1 verses 2 to 4 no longer apply to us. Because we already reached. But James chapter 1 verses 2 to 4, count it all joy, we encounter trials and so on, so that we learn to endure and become perfect and complete, lacking nothing, applies to us all the time. We are meant to have that spirit and attitude. Consider it all joy. Then we becomes possible, as I said, to consider all joy. Because you know that all these different situations very difficult, are very important, very meaningful. What our hearts really long for. To be transformed, to grow mature, unto maturity in Christ. And also bear in mind, as I said, as you work on church life, there are many aspects we can learn in this process. But also, the congregation itself, the body itself, learning in this way. The body also go through various stages of development in its maturing process. How mature are we as a congregation? How many years have passed by? I think many of you by now you have some idea. Have we remained the same or have we grown? In relation to this, it is helpful to bear in mind. So you go through the process, you grow, and so on. But constantly we must understand this process, when you go through in this way, yes, you result in a positive outcome, but we must remember it is not an automatic process. We have to respond well. And also how well we respond will also directly have a bearing on how well we grow. But we may not respond well, and the outcome can be negative. Every situation we go through can have a negative outcome. But it's not necessarily every situation negative, every situation positive. It can be sometimes negative, sometimes positive, but the point I want to emphasize is that God's intentions is that there be positive outcome, but it may not be. We can actually degenerate. And we know there are Christians, we have time, they go on relatively well. Subsequently, they degenerate. We can degenerate. And the scriptures warns us to walk well as children of light. And it's possible to walk according to our flesh, but we are to walk according to the Spirit. And especially when we go through situations that are complex, puzzling, difficult. And the more difficult it is, the more what I'm going to talk about now will be very helpful. But in general, it's already helpful, but especially when it's more complex. And at times we are quite puzzled, we don't know what to do, and very hard to endure. In such situations, including wanting to run away from the situation, even though we know God wants us to be in that situation, during such times, instead of blaming the situation, grumbling, just blaming other people, concentrate on being faithful to God and affirming our faith in Him. That's very important. When we do that, God will strengthen us. He will have the freedom to speak to us, to help us. But it's very easy during such times to be too affected by the circumstances or the people and forget that critical, we must affirm our faith and genuinely seek to exercise faith in God. From what I can understand, although there are various aspects to it which I sort of analyze in regards to what Job went through, but from what I can understand, a major reason why Job faltered, grumbled, made noise, he said various things that were quite improper during the process. although finally emerged at a higher level. But one of the major reasons why he faltered quite badly was because he became overconscious of the difficulties that he was going through, and that faith in God, that trust in God was shaken. And then he said various things about God that were not good. But deep within, he knew God. Deep within, he actually trusted God. And it was actually possible for him to go through well, although very, very difficult. That is why, although he said various things that were quite bad, God still appreciated him and commended him at the end of it all. So during very difficult circumstances, bear in mind also what Peter went through is just like a parable, but it's a real life situation. Peter saw the Lord Jesus walking in the water. He told the Lord Jesus, "Can I also join you, Lord Jesus? Come." And Peter actually walked on the water. But then the scriptures records for us, when he looked around, he saw the waves. His faith wavered, and that is when he began to sink. In a very beautiful pictorial form, communicates to us, when you talk about fixing our eyes on the Lord Jesus, is that faith. We must maintain that faith and not be overconscious of the waves and the wind. That doesn't mean it is good to ignore the waves. I mean, we do not know that we are going through the surroundings and what they are. Yes, it's relevant. In fact, that helps us to be more conscious of our need to trust God, to be very prayerful. But do not allow the circumstances to overwhelm you such that you lose your focus on God. So we sometimes talk about these terms, learn how to apply it in real life situations. The meaning of focusing on God, the meaning of fixing your eyes on the Lord Jesus, never taking your eyes away from Him, to run the race in fellowship with Him, looking to Him to guide, undertake, to enable, and to affirm the faith, and look to Him to guide, to undertake. And this we need to do, personal, together. We can also fail together in church life. And in all these situations we go through, each one of us must affirm our commitment to do what we can and what we understand God desires of us. Each one affirm and actually seeking to do that. Not only is that important, if we do that, we can be assured God will undertake. The evil will not triumph. Not only we hope we can overcome, we can be assured. As we seek to do our part, it is meaningful, it is helpful, it is important to affirm and at the same time be assured that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love Him, to those who are called according to His purpose. Now this is very meaningful as we seek to fulfill God's purposes at a personal level and also church life. What are we talking about? We want to fulfill God's purposes, then we can appreciate Romans 8:28 in this way, in a very meaningful sense. Romans 8:28 is a verse worth memorizing, even if your memory is not so good. Feasible to memorize it and very useful. Paul says, and we know, it's a fact, we know that God causes all things to work together for good. And it's God. And if God is causing all things to work together for good, who can challenge it? Who can nullify it? No one can nullify it. The evil cannot nullify it. Human beings cannot. Situations cannot. And the all things includes people, situations, evil one at work. God can overrule everything, including the wiles of the evil one, to bring about good. It's to those who love God. So you must make sure, maintain your love for God. Not just as a concept, reality. To those who are called according to His purpose, you love God, you seek to be faithful to Him, you look to Him, you live your life consistent with loving God. Then you can affirm God causes all things to work together for good and be assured that it is true. This is a very important principle in the scriptures that has no qualifications. The qualifications in the verse itself. If you truly love God, you are truly seeking to work out according to His purpose, no one can nullify it. So in many situations we go through, if we look at situation and what we are going through, including what is happening to us from the perspective, from the spectacles of the people of the world, then we can be miserable. People can say you're a born loser, and we can even feel like that. It looks like that, that we are the losing end. But in reality, it will not be if we are living our lives in this way that God desires. We love Him, we affirm our faith in Him, we seek to be faithful to Him. But some may say, yes, I have sought to affirm, I've sought to live like that, but my situation continues to be so difficult. Can be work, can be people, can be all kinds of things, and it's so difficult, and it continues to be difficult, and I'm moving in the direction of being very miserable. Does this verse really apply? Can it be true? You love the Lord, you seek to be faithful to Him, and yet it's so difficult. Can it be true? You can say unfortunately, or you can say in just in reality, and it's meaningful, that the answer is yes. You can seek to be faithful, and yet the situation continues to be not only difficult, but very difficult. In fact, it can become even more difficult. Can? Not always like that, but can. It can be like that. Then what does this verse mean? God causes all things to work together for good. When I seek to live like that, but my situation is getting more difficult, how can it be good? Good to those who love God is good for you. Good doesn't mean the situation becomes easier, more pleasant. It's good for you. So good in what sense? Of course, from a biblical perspective. What God seeks to bring about in your life, and what He wants to accomplish in your life. So God first has to train you, and then He wants to work through your life. And then that's where it's very helpful that God follows up Romans 8:28, verse 29, so it's easy for us to remember. Verse 29 goes on to say, for those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son. For. So you know it's linked. The two verses are linked. God calls all things to work together for good to those who love Him. It's in the direction of being conformed to the image of Christ. That was already decided by God even before the foundation of the world. He wants you to be conformed to the image of Christ. And that's why, as I mentioned, He actually places us in this context. And He's causing all things to work together for good is to bring about this goal. So if you live your lives right, yes, you can be assured. This goal, you'll make progress in that goal. But of course, you can also cry out to God for mercy. And I will tell you, it does work. You find it very, very difficult. You find it cannot bear it. You cry out to God, God, I love You. I want to be faithful, but I cannot bear. God often, in His grace and mercy, does intervene, at times in very dramatic ways. And it's quite wonderful to experience some of these things. And God can intervene in very dramatic ways. But that is not the most critical thing. Because suddenly we cannot, and you know, we come to God and we see how He intervenes. But the more important, we learn, even when it continues to be very difficult or even more difficult, our hearts need not be shaken, become disturbed. But this kind of faith is important. It must rest on knowledge of the truth. So this is where I'm trying to put across. If you recognize that what has been communicated here is truth, you know you have a proper basis for faith. And then you exercise faith accordingly. In Romans 8:29, interestingly, it goes on to say something else which is very encouraging to us. Become conformed to the image of His Son so that He would be the firstborn among many brethren. The He referring to Jesus Christ. That God's ultimate goal goes beyond just that we conform to the image of His Son, but that Christ will be the firstborn among many brethren. Christ is the firstborn. Christ is our brother. Of course, we are so far from Him. But Christ, God's goal is that Christ is the firstborn among many brethren. So as we move in that direction, difficult and all that, our being makes progress and we can look forward to eternity. The kind of time I shouldn't say time, eternity, thing you don't measure by time. But we can look forward to eternity with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and the Lord Jesus, the firstborn among many brethren. But not only just look forward to eternity, which is very important, to be motivated by what awaits us in eternity, we are faithful to God. I want to emphasize to you, it's not unspiritual. But if you are calculative, oh, I will do this so that I will get that, there can be a form of being calculative, which is negative. But when we look forward, when we are faithful to God, we look forward to what awaits us, which God assures us. That is very biblical. Because this is how God encourages us. He lays it out for us. What we can look forward to in eternity. Just in the parable, you're faithful, then you're over 5 cities or 10 cities and so on, depending on how faithful we are. That God wants to encourage us. Likewise, what he tells us in Revelation. He who overcomes what awaits us. Now we may not know all the things that is listed in Revelation for the overcomers, but we know they must be wonderful things. And perhaps God didn't say a lot what they actually amount to, because we may not be able to understand, because it belongs to a different dimension in eternity. Some people say maybe just like a fish swimming in the water, you try to describe to him what the sun and the moon looks like, or birds flying in the air. It can be a bit difficult to explain to the fish. Of course, it's true. Our brains are bigger than fish brain. But the principle is still there. It's a different dimension. It may be difficult for words to express it. But what we can look forward to. But the other is not just look forward to eternity. Very important. We learn well, we grow well in the process. It becomes very helpful and meaningful during the remaining time we have on earth. And one of the things you can consider and bear in mind is this. What you go through can be difficult, but God is preparing for you what lies ahead. How he wants you to serve him. Bear in mind Moses. In times past, I preached a few messages on Moses. God prepared him. Even situations where we say, oh, how to learn. In the palace with the princess, oh, seems so good. But he didn't learn very well. In the wilderness, he had to run away, fled from Egypt. Then in the wilderness, amongst the shepherds and so on, it may seem very no good, not conducive for learning. But God was training him, preparing him. For what? For the future work. So for each one of us, what God allows us to go through, he wants to train us. Also meaningful development of being, but also for what lies ahead. So I have to end here. What I want to emphasize is that we affirm we believe in a perfect God. Remember the implications. The perfect God, he's sovereign. He knows what we are going through. What he doesn't allow us to go through cannot take place. What he doesn't allow the evil one to work also cannot take place. But yes, it's also true that the way God works, there are many moral, spiritual principles that God does abide by. So we have no time, or now is not the place to go into all this. But the sovereignty of God will always be there. Various things we will not fully understand, why this happened, why that happened, but we can be assured. Those who love him, God is sovereignly undertaking. And we will not go through in vain. The process can be difficult, but very helpful. The critical thing is, are we trusting God? Are we responding well? Are we doing what is feasible for us, what God desires of us in the situation? And never say, I can't respond well because of this, this, this. There's no such thing, whether it be situations or people. No situation, no person, neither the force of darkness can block us from responding well to God. That's the beauty of it. how God has created us in ordinary reality, that no one can block us from responding well except ourselves. Yes, it can be difficult, but at the same time, bear in mind, the more difficult and you respond well, the stronger the qualities that emerge. So if we see this well, personal, together, and then seek to live accordingly, we can look forward to what lies ahead. Not that it will be pleasant, easy, but meaningful, and the outcome very positive, and God will then see it fit and meaningful to manifest His power, His glory, His wisdom. Not that we have not tasted any of it, but we can look to forward to more as we concentrate on being faithful to Him. Let us now spend some time to prepare our hearts to partake the Lord's Supper. Let's ask the Lord to help us to see more clearly, sharply, with spiritual insight the areas of truth we've been considering this afternoon, and that we may develop strong convictions to live in this way, to learn how to go through situations well, and also the meaning of relationship and working out well, even in the midst of difficulties, significant difficulties, that God not only can, He desires to bring about a positive outcome in our lives, personal and together. Let's ask the Lord to help us to see these things clearly and how to align our hearts with His heart and learn to run with endurance the race that is set before us. See, there's a race set before us, for each one and for us together, and always fixing our eyes on the Lord Jesus and His perfect example, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for Your kind intentions toward us, each one of us, and also together as Your people. We thank You for the abundant life we can have in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You for what You seek to bring about in our lives, and that in Your perfect wisdom is Your desire that we work it all out together with the brethren in the expression of body life. We know You have placed us in a context that's difficult and can be very difficult. In this fallen world, with the weakness of the flesh and the wiles and attacks of the evil one. But we thank You that we can catch a glimpse of what James is talking about, why we can count it all joy when we encounter all kinds of trials. Because if we persevere, You will bring about the transformation of our hearts and lives, that we can be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. That we can make progress in that direction, that more and more we can be conformed to the image of Christ. And that in the many complex situations, difficulties, hardships that we go through, we know, we can affirm that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love You, to those who are called according to Your purpose. And we thank You that beyond what we considered just now of Romans 8:28 and Romans 8:29, You have also written, recorded for us in verse 32 of Romans 8, that You who did not spare Your own Son but delivered Him up for us all, how will You not also with Him freely give us all things? That You desire to shower us with Your blessings, with Your love, with all good things. And You have proven it. You've demonstrated it in a way that we know we cannot doubt You, because You did not spare Your own Son, but You sent Him to this world and delivered Him up for us, so that we can be assured that together with Him, You will freely give us all things, all that is good for us. So help us to live each day with a deep sense of confidence in You, gratitude toward You, seek to be sensitive to You, learn from You, and by Your grace enabling to live well, to respond well at a personal level and together with Your people, that we may understand how to work out in mutual edification, upholding one another, praying, caring for one another, and the expression of body life, learning each one to learn to fulfill the part You desire of us, and together as Your people to fulfill the part You desire of us in the total picture of Your working of Your purposes, our part in the universal church. Thank You now for the Lord's Supper we can partake together. We ask for Your blessings on the bread and wine. And we ask that You will continue to prepare our hearts, that we may not partake the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. That even now You will wash away our sins, renew us in the right spirit. Help us to put away all that displeases You, and affirm with conviction our commitment to You and to Your ways. All this we ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.